Thank you, ladies.
We never forget that marvelous love of our God that's was shown there in the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, ladies, for that message and song. One of the things that I did want to mention, and that is certainly a thanks to all of you who were able to help in the providing for the Shelton family for the dinner that was here. It was a great testimony to a number of folks that expressed that. And it's there are various ways that we're able to witness for our Lord. And that was one way, and it was a great help, and just that underscored the message of the gospel that our brother Howard was able to bring to them. So remember to pray for them, and pray for the Lord's working there in that home. Hebrews chapter 12, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. There is a race that is before us. Today's passage is put into the setting of a great running race. I think of the emphasis that when I think of when my wife and I had the opportunity of being in Greece this last year and going to the various sites and places that are in ruins today, but yet we were able to see the great emphasis that the Greeks and the Romans put on running the human foot races. We saw the ruins of some of their great outdoor stadiums. We visited an area that was a massive training area for the races that they would have, and where the athletes were pushed to their limits in preparation for the races. It was like it was the most important thing that there was in their country, and they went to great extent to see those. Given themselves in that. Certainly, we would not be like that today. Well, putting aside OSU football and some that get overwhelmed with the football and all those things. But as we think of the race, this is a passage that puts in perspective looking at a time of a great race, but before us is a race that is of much greater importance than anything that that man would have here on the earth. A race that has eternal consequences. And if you today are in Christ, you're not a spectator, but you're put in the place, you're the runner. The life of faith here is put before you in this passage of Scripture. We've been looking in Hebrews chapter 11 there's been a definition of faith. Then we've seen life after life that has been put before us to let us look at and see what it looks like to live by faith. And we've seen that some in just instances of one's lives. We've seen lives of some that it was that which was a pattern and carried out in their life, a life of faith. Then we were given instances of all different ones that have gone through great trials and great hardships and persecutions and now we come to chapter 12, and now we see the setting. We see the setting of this race. In the first part of this verse, it says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." Though this is a race that is personally run, and it's run individually, by us individually as believers, it's a race that we're let know that we're not alone. It says there is a great cloud. That is a word that has the idea of a large mass. It's a word describing that when there's a complete cloud cover. In the sky, that's a word that would have been used for that. It wouldn't have been used for a for a nice bright clear day, and here's this one cloud up here. No, it's a word that describes a sky that is covered over. And what is that cloud? That cloud is a mass of witnesses, witnesses that are there, witnesses that are to see, to encourage, to be there as a part. You know, I think of many sports are spectator sports. These are not spectators. These are not those that don't really know what's going on. You know, many times you see in the sports, you hear ones crying out to do this and to do that really don't have any idea what ought to be done. And many times their shouting could be wrong. But these that are witnesses, these are not spectators. These are ones that are victors of the faith. These are ones that have run the race. These are ones that they have participated in that. They know what you're going through. This is a cloud of champions, champions of the faith, those that have stood for the faith in their lives. And so this cloud of witnesses, they are there to give their cry of encouragement from experience. They are there, and certainly the witness would be, and as it's been described to us, yes, there's pain. You're going through pain, but the pain is short. It's only going to be for a time. The victory that is at the end, it's a sweet victory. Don't give up. These are a cloud of witnesses, witnesses that we have looked at and observed. We could go back through Hebrews 11. We could see these that are mentioned. We could look at Noah. We could look at Abraham. We could look at Isaac and Jacob, and we could look at Joseph, and we can look at Moses, or we could look at those prophets and all those things that they went through, declaring the things of the Lord. We could go through those as we mentioned in the last part of this chapter 11. The last part of this chapter 11 that went on and said that what more would fail me? There were those that subdued kingdoms, verse 33. There were those, though, that it said in verse 36, others that had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings and bonds and imprisonment, stoned and were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword, wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. There were those here that experienced in their life some great victories. There are those that the victory was ahead. It was not that they saw at that moment, but now they are the spectators. There's a great cloud of witnesses there that are there to witness. They're there to witness that your faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is based upon the Word of God. I can see in my own mind's eye, and this is not here in this passage, but we've got a cloud of witnesses, but it's like they're holding forth the Word of God and saying, This is what you're basing your race upon. It is upon the Word of God. You might not see what is promised. We didn't see what was ahead. We didn't see we couldn't see it with our eyes, but we were convinced of it because it was based upon the Word of God. And so here is this great cloud of witnesses. Here are these victors of faith. Here are those that have gone through, and many times in the Christian life, there are those that feel very much alone. I feel like there isn't anybody else. There isn't anybody else that's standing. You think about Elijah. Elijah at a time in his life that said, I and I alone am the only one that stand for you, Lord. And the Lord let him know that there were 7,000 others. In our own personal experience, sometimes we can feel very alone in the midst of our race that we have been put in the Christian life. But there is a great cloud of witnesses. There are those that have gone before, and there are those that have gone through those things that you are going through, and they conquered by faith. At the end see that which could not be seen with the eyes as we come to the time of reward. So he says, there's the setting. There's the setting. There you are as a believer. There you are. You're placed as the runner in the race. You're placed there in the midst of that with a whole cloud of those that have gone before that are there of witnesses, even witnesses that we have just been witnessed of there in Hebrews chapter 11. Since that time, you know, there are, and even today in our day, there are men and women, young people, even children, standing for their faith in the midst of just holding to the promises of God, not capitulating to the trials, the temptations. There are those that even to declare the name of Christ is that which could cost them their own lives. It can be a capital crime in some areas of our world today. There's a great cloud of witnesses that are there before us as we see the beginning of that race. You come to the next part of that verse. It says, let us lay aside every weight. Let us lay aside every weight. In the midst of that race, there are weights. It's a word for hindrances, to be encumbered with something, to be burdened down with something. But now the whole object before us is a race in our Christian life for the Lord. That should be where our thoughts, our minds should be centered upon. Nothing should be taking precedence over the race now that we have been put into. The Lord is to have first place. The Lord is to have first place. As you think about that, what kind of weights are there? As you recognize as a believer, you have been placed in a race. You have been placed where you are to give your all. Your all to the one to whom has called you. We've been told you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, with all your strength. We've been told to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What kind of things are there? You see, he's telling us, you're in the race. Lay aside every weight, every encumbrance, everything that is there that would be holding you back. Think if you're out there running, you're out there putting one of those races. How about if you're wearing a pair of thongs? Those things that come up between your toe and kind of flip-flop. Now, there's nothing wrong with those things. I never could see a good use for them myself. wear them in the shower, but that doesn't mean, but there's nothing wrong with them. There's nothing wrong with them. But if you're in a race, what should you do with them? You should cast them aside. You know, cast them aside because they're going to hold you back. There are so many things in our life, in our Christian life, that we get involved in and that we do that keep us from being able to give the Lord our very best, in our lives, that He has all of our love, all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our mind. What kind of things in our Christian lives are holding us back? You know, they might not be bad things. They might not be things that there's really anything wrong with. But for our Christian life, they're just holding us back. For a Christian life, they're keeping us from being where we ought to be. They're keeping us from being with gathering together in the assembly of the believers. They're keeping us from being able to give to the Lord's work as we ought to give. They're keeping us from having the time to be able to go and speak to a neighbor about the Lord Jesus Christ. There's many things that there's nothing wrong with them at all, except for the fact they're a cumbrance. They're a hindrance to us. The weights are to be laid aside. Sometimes just looking back. You ever watch a runner lose his pace when he looks back to see what the others are doing? Sometimes you see him lose maybe a yard or 2 yards because he's looking back to see what are the others doing. I remember how the Lord spoke to Peter when the Lord was letting Peter know what was going to happen to him and what trials. He was telling Peter what trials he is going to go through and even the martyrdom that he would go through. And Peter says to the Lord, "Well, Lord, what shall this man do?" He looked back at John and says, "What about John?" Do you remember what the Lord's response was to Peter? The Lord said, "If he will till I tarry that I come." He says, "What is that to you? Follow me. You follow me." Every one of our lives are different. The Lord has different things for each of us. The things that maybe I encounter that would be an encumbrance to me is not what would be an encumbrance to you. But I'm to cast aside every weight. I'm not to be looking back and worrying about others. I'm to have the things of God as those things that are my first priority. In Luke 9:62, the Lord Jesus said, "No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." Why is that? Because God is to be first. He's to be my priority. Everything that I do should be to the glory of God. Over the years, we should be able to say, in everything that I'm doing in my life, it is what I can do best to serve my Lord and my God. That's a job that I have. The job that I have to provide for my family is that which I can use to serve my Lord and my God. If I seek the, you know, that verse, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness," it's in reference to our food and our clothing, the basic necessities of life. He says, if you put the Lord first, then He says, the Lord knows that you have need of these things. "You seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and these things shall be added to you." But what do? We think, well, I know I know what would what's best for serving the Lord, but boy, that just I just can't do that. Who's the perfect example of one looking back? And I think of Lot's wife. The Lord had warned Lot and his wife, his family, when you leave Sodom, don't be looking back. Lot's wife, she just couldn't leave all that behind. And so she went against the Lord and looked back, and that's where we saw her become a pillar of salt. The Lord wants us, he says in Luke 14, "And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." What are the hindrances? What are the things that we need to cast aside? Sometimes we're double-minded. We want the things of this world, and we want the things of the Lord. You know, my whole desire for things should always be that I might serve my Lord better, that the work of the Lord might prosper, that my life would be used to the Lord. I have talked with those that have said, I've got this farm. I've dedicated it to the Lord. This is for the Lord. Some of you, when you've moved into your home, you've dedicated that home to the Lord. This is a house. I want this house to be something that is used for my Lord and my God. Or is it, well, I can serve the Lord, but I want these things for myself. Those are encumbrances. Those are encumbrances. Those are things that burden us down. Unnecessary responsibilities. Taking on things that are not necessary. Seeking our own pleasure. There's nothing wrong with recreation. There's nothing wrong with doing things that are relaxing, unless they come to take precedence. It's kind of like this last week has been a big week for the deer hunters, right? Like to hunt deer. I enjoy that. It's something that provides for the family. It can provide that of being out and enjoying the nature that God has given to us. But that can also be a cumbrance. There are those that they come so obsessed with it that everything else has to be set aside. Nothing else can be done, even if it should take priority. Then things that are good become encumbrances. The hobbies that we have, the hobbies and the things that we do, they can become an asset to us. They can become an asset to our being able to serve our Lord better, or they can come to be that which is holding us back from running the race that has been set before us. I think of Philippians 1:10 that says that ye may approve things that are excellent. There are many things in life. There are things that maybe are good, but then there are things that are better. And we need to be those that are continually, as we've been placed in this race, we've been placed in this life, a life of faith to serve our Lord and our God. Look to those things that are the best, those things that are excellent. I would even put into that we're told in the thinking of our mind, whatsoever things are honest and of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Even the controlling of our mind. Lord, don't let my mind wander. Don't let me become encumbered down with pressures on my mind, but help me to think on those things of which I ought to be thinking. I've just named a few things. But as the Spirit of God ministers to our hearts and as we evaluate our lives, there might be things that I haven't even thought about this morning, but the Spirit of God is ministering to you on and saying, you know, kind of putting his finger on it and saying, there's something that's an encumbrance to you. There's something that's holding you back, like trying to wear a pair of thongs in a foot race. In my Christian life, I'm being held back because of, and you fill in the blank. He says, lay it aside. Lay it aside. Lay it aside because, and even as the passage goes on, because of the race and the end of that race. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. He gets down here to besetting sin. Some use that word as an excuse for sin. Well, I've got this besetting sin, but the word besetting here is a word that means that which entangles, that which is encompasses from all around. Sin, that's what sin does. Sin is that which takes hold of us. It surrounds us, it entangles us. It seems like it's pictured here in this race. It's pictured here in this race of our Christian life, of where they're running and where this sin, like a net, has been thrown over us and we're not going anywhere because we are encompassed, we are entangled in. And thus we're not making any progress in our Christian life. Is there sin? Sin in your life? As we said, there are encumbrances, there's weights, there's things that aren't necessarily bad, but we need to set aside. But then there's things that are just plain against the will of God. It's a transgression of the law of God. To him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. It's to go your way and instead of to go God's way. We can go way back in our Bibles to Cain. Cain and Abel. I think of Cain. Cain, who brought a sacrifice that was not acceptable to the Lord. And Cain didn't like it. Cain was angry. Cain was angry with the Lord that the Lord didn't accept his sacrifice. And the Lord said to him, Cain, why are you wroth? Why is your countenance fallen? He says, if you do well, won't you be accepted? But if you do not well, sin lies at your door. He had revealed to Cain, it's sin in your heart the problem. You have gone against me. How many times do you expect the blessing of God? Even sometimes become angry with God or you blame God when the problem is the sin in your own heart and life. He says, lay aside every sin that so easily besets you, entangles itself in you. Sin is that which stops you in the midst of your race. Entangles you and you can't go on. You don't progress in your Christian life, do you, when there's that's between you and the Lord? You know, that's, I think, one of the things that the Lord has given us as we come to the Lord's table. And one of the importance of the Lord's table is in its reminding us of the body and the blood of Christ that was given for us. It's there to remind us of forgiveness that is there, and the need to repent, the need to turn from our sin, the need on a daily basis that we need to keep short accounts with our God. We think, well, I can hold on to this. It's not going to hurt me too much. Not understanding that the entangling web that sin has upon us. Remember that the race is the Lord's. The Christian race, the life that the Lord has put you in, and the race to run for Him is a race where He's the master of the race. He sets the rules. He sets the rules, and you must run lawfully. In 2 Timothy 2:5, he says, if a man strive for masteries, yet he's not crowned unless he strive lawfully. How much do we try to live our lives ourselves without recognizing my life belongs to the Lord? I've been bought with a price. I am to glorify God in my body and my spirit, which are God's. This life is not my own. This life doesn't belong to me. I belong to the Lord. And when I go against Him, when I sin against my God, I'm stopped from the progression of the race in which I've been set forth to run. My Lord is the one who provides the strength for that race. He's the one that says, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. He's the one that is there to provide the wisdom for the race. And when you're going through the trials and the persecutions and the problems, and you want to cry out to the Lord, Lord, what do I do now? But what does the scripture says? If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. How can we run the race? How can we go through the trials and the persecutions expecting God to give us the help and the strength that we need to get through these various situations to the glory of our God when we cry out to Him, but I've got sin in my heart that I won't turn from and repent? If I regard iniquity in my heart, Psalm 66:18 says, the Lord will not hear me. Lay aside every weight and every sin that so easily entangles you. Then he says, in the next part of that verse, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. That's that continuance. It's that steadfastness, the patience. The word there is a word to endure it. Patiently continue on enduring as you're running the race that the Lord has given to you. We've been told that there's going to be trials. We've been told that there's going to be persecutions. We've been told that there are going to be those that will hate us for our faith. Even as they hated the Lord, that they will hate you. And you go through those things and you think, why? I've only done that which is right, if that's the situation that we are in. But he says, run with patience through the pain, through the distractions, continuing to run. Continuing to run, continuing to seek to serve my God with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my mind. Casting aside the weights, casting aside the sin, and patiently going through the trials, not allowing distractions to come there. I often use the example of the horses from my uncle's farm. And I always felt sorry for him with those blinders on the side. and thought, why do you put those things? A poor horse can't see. Well, he wasn't supposed to be looking around him. He was supposed to keep his eyes straight ahead. It kept him from the distractions. It kept him from being startled with things that he should not be. And so much it is that we need to have godly blinders that we place on there to keep our eyes looking ahead, to continue to run, casting aside those things that would hinder us in any way. How are you running the race? How are you running the race that God has placed you in? How am I running the race that God has placed me in? Well, that second verse will begin in the first part of that verse for today. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Looking unto Jesus. Jesus, He is my goal. My eyes are to be set upon Him. Yes, though there are the trials, though there are the persecutions, though there's the times of darkness and seeming despair, yet with the eye of faith, we're looking unto Jesus. Having your eye upon Him. Having your eye upon Him, not looking to the left, not looking to the right. In our Sunday school class today, the illustration was brought up of Peter. Peter who was out in the ship, you remember, and the tempest to sea, and the Lord was there walking on the water, and the Lord called Peter to come to him. Remember, Peter was walking to the Lord on the water until he took his eyes off the Lord Jesus. And what happened when he took his eyes off the Lord Jesus? He had to cry out, Lord, save me, because he began to sink. Oh, such a perfect example. When we're seeking to run the race, when we've taken our eyes off of the Savior. We do that. I'm afraid we do that a lot, don't we? We take our eyes off the Lord. We take our eyes off the one who has called us. We forget the race that we're running. We forget. We get cumbered down with things. We let sin in our lives, and our eyes are wandering here and there. We need to get back to turn your eyes upon Jesus. Your eyes set upon Him. He that is the author of your faith. The word author there is the one who is your captain, the one who is your leader. Yes, He is the author of our faith in the way we think of the word author many times, but this is not what He's emphasizing here. He's emphasizing here, He is the one who has gone before you. Here in this passage, we've had the great cloud of witnesses that have been victors in their faith. And as we come to this, we come to the one who was in perfection in his faith, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who led by example the race that is before you. He that was tempted in all points like as you are, He that perfectly ran the race. He's there at the end. He's there at the end, calling us on. He's there at the end, encouraging us. We have the great cloud of witnesses here before us, and we have our eyes set upon the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the perfecter, who is the perfect example. That's the word finisher there is the perfecter, the one that is the perfect example. He is the one who is the perfect example of our faith. We started with a cloud of witnesses who've gone before us. And we end with the Lord Jesus, who is the perfect example of our faith. We've been given a race to run. When you came to Christ, you put your faith and trust in Christ, you were placed into that race. You've got a goal that's been set before you. There's the end of the race, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ Himself is that goal. cast your sins aside. Cast that that so encumbers you and entangles you and stops you in your race. Lay aside all the extra weights, all that is hindering, all that is hindering your giving your all in order that you might please him that has called you. We're seeking to please our God that has called us. We've got the Lord Jesus there that is placed in this race and is there. He has gone through it. He's encouraging. He's there to give you his grace. He's there to give you the strength and the help. Put your eyes upon Jesus. He is your goal, and he is your perfect example of faith. Shall we pray? Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for that great cloud of witnesses, those heroes of the faith that have gone before, those victors of faith. Thank you, O Lord, for the perfect example that you gave. Lord, as you were perfect in your faith, help us, Lord, to run that race. Help us, Lord, to run it patiently, enduring, being constant, not being pulled to the side. But, O Lord, that we may please you who have called us. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Now, Lord, help us to put to practice those things that your Spirit has spoken to us in today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn in your hymnals to number 204.